thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome back to another edition of the Computer Corner. A house full of data doctors here to discuss technology with you. Hope your Thanksgiving day was a fulfilling event. I know it was for me.
Oh, yeah.
And my family.
Definitely.
We had a small gathering of...
We've got like four pies left over.
Which is amazing because
it's ridiculous.
We had 59 people at our house for Thanksgiving.
I had six.
Actually, it was because it was Thanksgiving combined with a 60th anniversary for my wife's parents.
And Christmas.
And Christmas. And so she comes from a family of nine. Everybody and their brother, so to speak, flew in for the event. It was great. It was really great. But it's interesting. It was interesting, wasn't it?
It was very interesting.
Lots of people. Yeah, we love big family. And we want you to join our family here at the Computer Corner. The data doctors come in every Saturday afternoon and provide you with some feedback on what we learn as we service computers and network them and recover data from them and all the stuff we do during the week in our professional lives. We try to bring some of that flavor to the show and provide you with some guidance and some things maybe you hadn't thought about. Or, you know, if we teach you something new in the next couple of hours, that'd be kind of cool, too. So, the hope is that one of the things that we've posted or discussed or talked about will provide you with some food for thought, and then, you know, or maybe a solution to a problem. So best part of the show is the users helping users. You can learn from other people's pain. And so if you have pain that you would like some assistance with, you simply call 602-277-5827. 602-277-KTAR, or join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. datadoctors.com/radio. And that will take you to today's theme as well. We try to bring a theme in tow so we can try to focus some of our pre-generated content in a direction that might be helpful. I kind of got to looking at some of the stories that are out there, and also just in general, lots of people that I know that are, you know, it's a tough economic time, and there's a lot of people out there either searching for employment or an improvement in their employment situation, or they see the handwriting on the wall where they're at, and they see the company downsizing, and they're just trying to be proactive. In the past, when you're in that situation, your personal network was a very helpful thing to, you know, put the feelers out there. Hey, I'm on the market, I'm available, so on and so forth. And these personal networks are extremely important. But the internet really affords you a completely different opportunity that just wasn't there before, and that is to use the internet to create a much bigger personal network. And so you can have a casual relationship with somebody online that could turn into a referral or an opportunity, or, hey, we're looking for somebody that's got your talents in our organization, so on and so forth. So we're going to talk about a lot of those resources today because it is a tough time for people that are either currently employed or unemployed, and the internet can make a huge difference if you understand the resources that are out. It's not like you just go online and boom, you got a job. But understanding how potential employers use the internet to figure out who you are—that's a big one, right? I mean, we do that, don't we, Ben?
Yeah, we sure do.
Somebody's applying, and, you know, we do a little research on them. We check out, you know, any blogs that they have, if they got a MySpace page, Facebook. And it's amazing what you can learn about somebody before you even meet them. So it's a kind of a double-edged thing here we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the obvious resources, the professional networks, the job hunting sites, I mean, all that normal stuff. But we're also going to talk about how other things you've done that you consider to be fairly benign, like your blog or a Facebook page or anything that you've done, how employers are actually using the same tools to figure out who they want to hire. Or in some cases, I mean, we talked about in previous shows, a lot of admissions staff spend a lot of time on the internet trying to decide, of the 15 students, I got four slots. I got to figure out everything they can about these 15 students, figure out which four are the best suited for our school. And the internet and blogs and what you've posted on MySpace and what's in the Google caches and all that stuff, that all comes into play. So we want to talk about those things today. But more importantly, we're here for you, no matter what it is that you're having a question about. If you're out there shopping and you're trying to figure out, which one of these should I buy? Or should I buy this at all? Hey, call us while you're in the store, 602-277-5827. We'll see if we can't give you some guidance on kind of navigating that insanity. That, I mean, the technology is always first and foremost in all those ads, right? There's a lot of ads out there.
Technology sells.
Yeah, and so you got to be careful, too, that you don't get caught up in the hype of these sales. People that don't know much about technology, the first thing that they make their buying decision on is price, right? Which is, in technology, can be very, very dangerous. The lowest priced anything in technology is generally riddled with issues that you know, if you understand what they are before you make your decision, great. If you buy it based on, hey, I think I got a good deal, and then you get it home and you learn all the warts that came with the technology, then not so much. So 602-277-5827 for any of those things as well. Later on the show, we'll talk about our Geek Speak of the Week. We've got our newsletter items. We've got a whole bunch of content out there that, again, some of it has to do with our theme and some of it has just to do with what's going on. If you're not familiar with our newsletter, you can take a look at about 10, 12 different archived copies. If you go to datadoctors.com/help and then look for that little newsletter archive link, and you can see, you know, those of you that have missed a couple of newsletters, whatever, you can just go back and take a look at those things. And we'll talk about those things later, but a little bit later on as well. You know, the whole internet slash employment equation, right? I mean, it's changed so much, even in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You have huge sites like Career Builder, Monster,
LinkedIn.
You have Dice. Well, no, I'm talking about actual job sites where you actually go and you can search through all the different places that are looking for somebody to help. Now, you mentioned LinkedIn. So here's the first kind of, first beyond the obvious discussion, you know, that we'll start with when it comes to using some of these resources for employment. If you are a member of LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is the largest network, professional network, so most people, or just everybody that's in LinkedIn, is a professional that is looking to network with other professionals. So if you go to business networking international meetings, or if you go to Chamber of Commerce meetings, you go to those kinds of things to network, LinkedIn is a virtual version of that, where you can network with people all over the world for just about anything. And I've used LinkedIn to find resources, people I was looking for, expertise that I was looking for various projects, and it's been very, very helpful. But from an employment standpoint, let's say you go and find a company that you want to work for, and they're posting a job. Well, you could apply for the job online or to go through that process like everyone else does, or you could take a look at using the LinkedIn resources to try to find people at that company to say, hey, could you maybe put in a good word for me, or could you tell me a little bit more about the job? So we're going to talk in more detail about how LinkedIn can be used as a very good resource to really stand out from the crowd or really learn more about those job opportunities. But again, it's all here for you, 602-277-5827. Any kind of technology question, when we come back, we're going to start taking phone calls and talk some more about how you can use the internet if you're a job seeker. Stay tuned for more. Social networking is having a dramatic impact on all aspects of our lives. And if you're actually a job seeker out there, social networking may be the tool, the tip, the extra little something that separates you from the rest of the pack. We're going to talk about more of that later on. I'll tell you how amazing social networking is and how ingrained in the world culture it's become. One of the newsletter items this week is a story about a Australian restaurateur who had five patrons come in and have a big seafood meal and a lot of wine or whatever, racked up a $340 bill and then skipped out on them. And somebody remembered while they were serving these folks, They remembered them referring to somebody, that, a former waitress, as somebody that they knew. They were inquiring about this former waitress. So the restaurateur very cleverly contacted the former waitress just to see, you know, could you help me maybe figure out who these people were? And she said, well, why don't we go through all my Facebook contacts and you can take a look at the pictures and see if any of those people are the people that came in and skipped out on the bill. And so they did that, and sure enough, the two of the people of the five, one was the boyfriend and girlfriend, were part of her social network. And so the guy said, yeah, that's them. And so now by looking at their Facebook page, they knew that they found out that they worked at another restaurant around the corner. So he called that other restaurant and basically told them what happened. And the guy showed up a little bit later to pay the bill and a big handsome tip for the staff, you know, they got that they skipped out on. And then apparently the next day the other restaurant fired those two. But I mean, that's how pervasive these social networking sites can become. I mean, think about that for a second. In the past, somebody skipped out on a bill unless somebody, you know, got a license plate number, got something. This guy had nothing to work with other than a rumor that they knew a former waitress. You know, I mean, how cool is that?
That's awesome.
So I mean, that's how powerful social networking can be, both to help you and to hurt you. So those of you that do have Facebook pages that are looking for employment, you have to understand that that will be a big part of how a prospective employer views your candidacy. And so if you have, we've had people that have pictures on their Facebook pages that, yeah, it kind of tells us what they're really thinking and who they really are, because they don't seem to understand that anybody can see these things. Be very careful about that. But I referred to LinkedIn earlier. LinkedIn is a great way to make that contact. So you see a job description that you like at a company. You could actually search through your LinkedIn contacts, the people you've made a connection with, to see if anybody has any connections to that company, to try to get an introduction or something where you go beyond the normal just applying for the job. So those of you that don't have a LinkedIn account, it's absolutely free. If you're a professional looking to improve your status and network with other professionals, highly recommend you go and look at it. There's a lot to it. But the first step is getting involved and just signing up for an account. The key to LinkedIn is building your network of people that you know and asking questions. And I wrote a column about this quite some time ago. But it's not like you get on and the next day you've got a job. It is just like any other networking situation. It's a long term thing that you're going to do. That's going to help you build relationships, because if you think about it, it comes down to relationships. It's always been, right, who you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Always.
Well, if your circle in the real world is pretty small, how do you expand that circle? Well, you can volunteer. That's a great way to meet new people. You can join these networking groups, right? Some of them cost money, some of them don't. And then you can add this very, very powerful element of social networking, whether it's professional social networking or personal social networking. You just don't know who that person is and who they know. And if you have a large online network of people that you deal with either socially or professionally, you can say, hey, I'm in the market for a position, or I'm looking for employment in this part of the world, or I'm whatever. But you have to build that network first, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I say that's the first part of this thing is just get familiar with – choose one. I don't care what you want to do, Facebook, you want to use LinkedIn. If you're a professional looking to network with professionals, the largest online network of professionals is LinkedIn. So,
and the second one would probably be Facebook.
Well, that's not designed necessarily for professionals. That's There's another social. One called Xing, X-I-N-G, yes. Which is another site that's specifically designed for professionals. So if you want to get, if you're an accountant, you want to find other people that are accountants that maybe can refer you to other companies that are looking for accountants. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you can do online, but you got to first establish the relationship. So check all of that out. When we come back, we got Greg, Marie, Stu. Please hang tight. We're going to get you on the air here and answer your questions. 602-277-5827 is the number if you have a question. When we come back, we'll start answering those things. But again, don't forget, join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. If you are one of those looking for a new gainful employment, got a lot of resources up there for you. We're trying to help you out there. So stay tuned for a lot more of that and your calls. Shut up. Working our way through another wonderful, beautiful, amazing Saturday afternoon here in the Great Southwest. Hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving weekend. Very fulfilling for me personally, in many, many ways. Wherever you're listening to us, from around the internet, here from the terrestrial signal, we appreciate you joining us and invite you to join us in either the internet resources we posted or calling us directly at 602-277-5827 if you have a question, comment, what have you. And again, coming up in a little bit, we're going to be talking about our Geek Speak of the Week, but before we go any further, let's start answering some questions. Again, 602-277-5827. Very rare to have open lines in the early part of the show, so if you're one of those that's been trying forever, get on in there. Get your position held. Greg's first up here. Greg, you're having a problem with Internet Explorer in a couple of different ways, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell me what's going on in your world.
Well, this has been going on for probably 6 months or so. And what's happening is if I type a web address into the address bar, Internet Explorer will just lock up.
Says, I'm done, forget it.
Yep, I've got to close it out to do anything.
So you have to, like, open up, you have to do the task manager and end program or whatever as far as the...
It won't close just by hitting the X in the upper right hand.
It's doing the not responding thing, right?
Yep.
And then you're also having a problem with various things you try to see on the Internet. The only thing you can see video-wise is through the QuickTime player. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it doesn't matter if I'm trying to watch something on a website or if I already have a video that I've put on the computer. I can't see any of the video. I can hear the sound, but can't hear the video. Or I can't see the video.
Got it. Okay. And that's a very common issue, and there's about 1,200 possible causes, unfortunately. So let's just kind of step back and talk in general about what causes these kinds of things. You said your machine's, what, about 2.5 years old?
Yes, about 2.5 years old.
So a 2.5-year-old computer that's been on the Internet pretty consistently for 2.5 years, that's never been serviced, never been cleaned up, never been gone through, it's picked up a lot of road grime on the information superhighway, if you will. Okay, so it's not uncommon to have this slow building of stuff. I mean, there's spyware and adware and all kinds of stuff. You're probably not even aware of this snuck into your computer and done some things. And that's, if you listen to the show regularly, you hear us referring to the number of processes running. So one of the first things we like to do when somebody's having some issues is have them restart the computer so that you have a fresh restart, right? Then do that Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the task manager.
Mm-hmm.
Look down in the bottom left-hand corner to see how many processes are running.
Okay.
Because if you have 40, 50, 60 processes are running, there's a lot of extra stuff in there that you shouldn't have. I mean, a properly serviced machine, so when we get done servicing a customer's computer and it goes out the door, it's usually, for a desktop, we'd like to get it into the mid-30s, 35, maybe 38.
Okay.
Laptops maybe a little higher, maybe in the high 30s, low 40s, because laptops tend to have more battery utilities and things that do need to run.
Sure.
So if you're in that 50, 60, 70 range, then somebody needs to get in there and figure out what all those extra processes are, because any one of those could be causing a lot of these issues you're having. Now, yours, in addition to that, your situation, it sounds an awful lot like you've got corruption in your operating system, which is why you're having problems with Internet Explorer and these codecs. Internet Explorer is basically integrated into the operating system, into Windows.
Right.
And again, if you listen to the show, you know we're big fans of Firefox, which is an alternative browser. It's absolutely free. For those of you not familiar with it, it's a faster way to surf the Internet. Gives you different levels of stability. But more importantly, if you always have that second browser, even if you don't use Firefox, install it now so that if you run into a problem with the browser, with Internet Explorer in the future, you immediately go to Firefox and try the same thing. And if it works, then you start to understand, okay, it's not the computer, it's not my Internet connection, something's wrong with Internet Explorer.
Sure.
If it does the same thing and freezes and that kind of thing, then you know, okay, it's not Internet Explorer, it's something deeper. Okay, so it's a great diagnostic tool. And frankly, those people that have never used Firefox and that start using it and go, wow, this thing's so much faster. And if you go back into our newsletters, we've got a tip back there. If you're a high-speed Internet user, you know, you've got like Cox Cable or DSL or something of that nature, you can actually tweak Firefox and tell it that you're on a high-speed connection. And so instead of downloading things one at a time like it would for a standard dial-up account,
right,
it can download 30 different elements simultaneously, so it's doing it in parallel. which boosts the download speed of your pages even more. Okay, so again, that's not going to solve your problem, but that does give you a good diagnostic tool, and I think, frankly, a better surfing experience anyway.
Okay, great.
Because of the age of the machine, though, I would suggest that you have somebody look at it. You know, not the superficial stuff, but under the hood, if you will. Somebody that understands the Windows registry and the startup items and all that stuff to kind of evaluate, is it time to reload Windows? Because if you did like a clean install of Windows and started over and got rid of all the stuff that you've built up over the last 2.5 years, it would likely be faster, and I'm sure that all of these issues would go away because you're starting from scratch.
Right.
The downside, obviously, is all that stuff you spent 2.5 years getting the machine just the way you like it, that's also gone. Right? All your network connections, your printer drivers, your programs, your shortcuts, all that stuff's going to be gone. So you really have to look at balancing, you know, do I want to spend the time doing it this way, or do I want to, you know, how do I want to address this? And somebody that really understands what your options are, that can look at it and go, you know what, this thing's bad enough, you're better off just starting over. Or, you know what, if we just do a good, thorough cleanup, you can leave everything in its place. It's kind of like taking... You know, you got two options. You can take all the furniture out of the house, take everything, you know, and start over again. Or you can lift up each piece of furniture. It's more work. Lift up each piece of furniture, clean everything that's around it, put the piece of furniture back down so that everything's in exact place when the house is all cleaned up.
Okay.
Make sense?
That makes sense.
So those are the kind of the things that happen. But if you go 2.5 years and you've never had any kind of real service work done, it's going to have stuff built up.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
And this is the kind of stuff that it's just these nagging issues that show up. That's a very common thing that happens because most people, let's face it, we drive our computers till they die, right?
Right.
We really do, yeah.
We don't get proactive. It's like if you were to drive your car until it broke down on the side of the road and then call a mechanic,
mm-hmm.
you tend to have more issues and you tend to have more expensive repairs.
Sure.
And that's typically what happens with computers is people want to treat them like appliances. You just run them until they're exhibiting some problem, right? And usually it has to be a problem that's nagging enough. You said you've been dealing with this, what, 6 months?
At least.
Yeah. So this one's not even bad enough for you to step out of your comfort zone and go do something about it, right?
No, it's more of an annoyance.
Right, exactly. So, and those things tend to build. You get used to it. So you're going, right. Oh, I'll just deal with it. So you've got enough stuff going on there.
It must have gotten pretty bad for you to call us here.
Well, yeah. Do you think I've been running Windows Defender. Do you think that's good enough to get rid of some of the spyware and things like that that could be on there?
You know, what... If you've never really had the machine serviced, the chances of any anti-spyware program doing a good job of getting rid of what's built up is not real good.
I mean,
we have to typically during a service cycle, we're running minimum of 3-4 different programs on top of all of the manual work that we do. So we can identify, you know, once we look at your registry, we can start to identify just like a doctor does. Oh, there's some issues there that, you know, the average layman wouldn't have any clue.
Right.
And that's really what has to be done. Somebody that really understands what's going on with your machine has to do an evaluation. Is it time to start over? Is this salvageable? And then if it's time to start over, do you have all your disks and do you have a good backup? And I mean, there's a lot of work here that has to be done. That's usually why people don't want to deal with this part of it.
Well, and I created a Windows XP SP2 disk, so I actually could run it.
From a reload.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, before you do that, make absolutely sure you have everything that you need because oftentimes we hear, I mean, our data recovery lab gets projects all the time where people thought that they had everything backed up and they didn't.
Yeah.
And they wiped it out with the reinstall. So,
okay.
Be very, very careful.
All right.
Hey, thanks for calling and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you down the road there.
All right. Thanks for your help.
You betcha. That's how it works, folks. 602-277-5827. Let's see if we can sneak another one in here. Stu, you actually have something on topic today. You've actually used social networking for improving your life.
Yes, sir. I've been looking for someone to love me since about 2003 for a long period of time. It's been a mix of bar hopping and interneting, and I've been in touch with this one dear lady by the name of Joan by way of AOL. For some time now, and recently I've managed to persuade Joan to move to Arizona and come live with me.
Now, you know, Stu, when people hear that, first thing they're thinking is, oh, that's creepy. You convince somebody on the internet to come live with you. Obviously, there's a whole lot more to the story, right? You've spent an enormous amount of time getting to know each other through the internet.
Oh, yeah. I've known her for at least a year or so and a couple of screen name cancellations. Uh-huh.
But the bottom line is you're not one of these degenerate creeps, right?
No.
At least you wouldn't admit it on the air.
No. Well, you haven't seen me on the 5 o'clock news, have you?
Well, there you have it. Well, at least not under the name Stu.
What a legacy.
No, but it's good for people because a lot of people that have never actually ventured into any kind of social networking, they have their preconceived notions. They have the odd media reports about, you know, how people use the internet in bad ways.
Right, and, especially Craigslist.
Yeah, and but see, this situation where you actually made a human connection,
right,
using this technology, this happens more often in a real good way as opposed to all the bad stuff.
Stories like this.
Well, exactly. Well, I think the only thing you hear are the bad stories, right? Nobody talks about the good stuff. And Stu, you represent a huge number of people that have actually made great lifelong connections, whether it's you know, their personal life, their business life, so on and so forth, by using these tools that are out there that allow you to connect with other people. You'd have never had a chance to meet Joan any other way, right?
Right.
She literally lived in another part of the country.
Melbourne, Florida, right now. She's getting some personal and business type stuff wrapped up, and as soon as she can get all her resources together, she's going to pack it up and move to Arizona.
Melbourne, Florida. I've actually been there. I've actually flown into the Melbourne, Florida airport. That's a lovely part of the world.
All right.
How come she didn't talk you into moving to Melbourne?
Well, there's some nice attributes about Arizona, like no daylight saving time.
Yeah, sure.
But, no, she knows Arizona, especially East Valley, is where my home is and my heart is, born and raised in the East Valley here. Okay. So what can I tell you?
Excellent. All right, well, listen, appreciate you calling in and letting people know it's not all the bad stuff that you hear. It is about relationships, and you can actually build real relationships online.
Oh, right? Yeah. I've done that. I've been playing video games for years online, and I've met so many people around the world, and I keep in contact still today. I've known them for over 9 years.
Yeah. It's just amazing, right?
Yeah.
Now, but think about that. Let's say someday, Ben, you're done. We don't want you working for Data Doctors anymore.
Oh, no.
Which will never happen, by the way. You'll always be with Data Doctors. You're a lifer.
I really am.
But, I mean, the bigger your network is, whether it's people you met through video gaming, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, like through any of these resources, the bigger your network is online, the more likely you can say, hey, here's, you know, you can just say, hey, here's my current status. You're not even saying, hey, does anybody have a job? You're just saying, hey, I just, you know, I'm now looking for a new opportunity, whatever. Those networks can be enormous. I mean, I didn't plan to be in the computer business. I got very lucky through somebody I knew 20 years ago that said, hey, there's this thing going on with these things called computers, and you got to take a look. I was like, okay, I'll take a look, and here we are. So the internet allows you to get those relationships all over the place. We're talking about that and anything else you want to talk about, 602-277-5827. When we come back, more calls and the Geek Speak of the Week, maybe. Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, be right back. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about leveraging the internet. We're trying to give those of you that are seeking employment, either it's whether you're unemployed or currently employed, looking for something more substantial, whatever it is, the internet actually does provide you with a plethora of tools that that can be of major impact and assistance in finding opportunities that you wouldn't normally find in your normal path. That is not to say that you should forsake the traditional processes that you go through for applying for jobs and doing all the things that you do in the real world. We're simply talking about embellishing what you do with these tools. Social networking being one of the biggest issues that are out there, that if you're not engaging in any form of social or professional network online, you're really missing an opportunity to expand your horizons and meet people that can really present you with opportunities that you would never have in the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're virtually these aren't people that you would necessarily run into in your daily life, but you can. I mean, millions and millions of people are out there that you could connect with tomorrow on the internet. So you know, if you're not engaging in these things, and those of you that have been around for a long time and have done this for long, you know what I'm talking about. Help your friends that don't understand this. They really do need to understand what the opportunities are. And again, it's not an overnight, you know, you sign up and next thing you know, your life is changing. It's a long-term thing that you're building these networks. But they really do come in handy for, you know, these kinds of situations and opportunities of that nature. So, shall we? Let's see. We've got, you know, I think we got just enough time for Geek Speak. What do you think? Let's try it.
Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah, every week we try to bring you the some term, some vernacular of the tech world that you might run across, and try to give you an explanation as to not just what the definition is, but how it applies to your technology world. So, Ben, this week's Geek Speak is
Dynamic Link Library.
Or what's the
DLL.
DLL. Those of you that have seen that on your screen, usually in the form of an error message, right?
Yep.
You've seen that, and you're going, I have no idea what that is.
Uh-oh.
DLL.
Uh-oh.
What is a dynamic link library?
It's a file used in Microsoft Windows that contains a library of functions that can be used by any program.
That sounds like you just read that off there.
I did.
It is part of Windows. Without getting too technical, you know, when you install a program, in the past, when you installed, like, WordPerfect, you had to tell WordPerfect specifically what kind of printer you had. And then if you installed Lotus, you had to tell Lotus what kind of program or what kind of printer you had. And then if you installed, you know, the next item, whatever it is, that was back in the DOS days. With Windows, Windows has these shared resources or libraries. So you tell Windows, this is my printer, and then every program that installs knows to go over there to figure out how to print. Right? And so that's a simplified version of what DLLs are. There's all these functions, right-click, those kinds of things that we do in a lot of programs, copy and paste. Those resources and those items are embedded in all of these different files that are known as DLL or Dynamic Link Library files. And the reason why you end up getting error messages on DLLs is either the DLL file itself has become corrupted, something happened to it, so that that task that the program's trying to perform can't because that library is not there, or it's corrupted. Or it's an older version. Something happened. You install an older program, and this is why you got to really be careful about what you install on your computer. When you install an older program, sometimes it will install an older DLL file, right? We've seen that a million times.
Yes, we have.
And so when that happens, that particular program's fine, but all the programs that were using the new DLL file are going to be unhappy with you, and that's when you start to get those error messages. So it's an integral part of Windows. And at least now, you won't necessarily know what to do to fix it, but you now have a better understanding. And when you get that DLL error, what that means is one of these shared files, something happened to it. So at least, you know, okay, that's got to get fixed somehow. I've either got to replace that. And by the way, if you're somewhat technical, there are a bunch of sites out there that actually have the original DLLs available for you to download. So if you know what the name of the DLL file is, you can actually put that into Google and find these sites that have these libraries where you can download a clean version of that DLL. And I've had all kinds of problems go away just from getting a clean DLL downloaded and installed in Windows.
Yep.
So hopefully that helps you burgeoning computer techs and people that are trying to do their own service and what have you. When you get the DLL library or the DLL errors, you'll know at least what it is and if you want to do that. Mark, Roger, Robert, hang tight. We'll either talk to you off the air or talk to you on the air. We've got another hour to go here, 602-277-5827. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the newsletter section and also all the other things going on in tech. The Data Doctors are in the house. Hour number two coming up. Stay tuned.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. It is the Data Doctors, as we are here every Saturday afternoon. Ken, Ben, Taylor, and special guest, Tonio, right? You are a special guest.
Yes, I am.
You say hello. Actually, since I have a couple of the younger set here.
Yeah.
15 and you.
Yeah.
You.
Oh, yeah.
And how old are you, Tonio?
11.
You're 11, right? You know what you guys can do? Later on in the show. So you start thinking about this now. There are people out there that are driving around frantically trying to get the best deal. They're trying to buy stuff for Christmas gifts, holiday gifts, right?
Yeah.
And then when they hit in my voice, they expect jazz to follow it?
No. No, but maybe. Maybe that's the case. You want to try out as a DJ over, next studio over?
Oh, baby.
So, think about the kinds of things that an 11 and a 15-year-old would want when it comes to technology, right? So, gift ideas.
Got it.
Don't need you to tell me now. But think about it. Start jotting it down. I'll give you some paper so that by the end of the show, you can tell everybody out there. If you're shopping for an 11-year-old, especially 11-year-old boy, here are the kind of things that 11-year-old boys are really into right now.
So
here are
the programs. I'm covering 15-year-old boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
And girls. You can do both, boys and girls. Yeah. Well, you got to have more than one. All right? So that's your contribution to the show. You two, before the end of the show, we'll have that. And maybe after the next break. So if you're out there shopping and you want some ideas for the younger set, you know, you can make some grave errors if you assume that the younger folks want something that you think is cool and they get it and go, yeah.
I've gotten those gifts before.
Yeah, we all have, so. All right, let's go back to the phones here and see if we can't help Roger. Roger, you're having a problem with a keyboard, it says on my screen.
Yes, sir. It's either a keyboard or it's something weird. I'm a Mac dude. My wife's got her Dell PC, and her keys, she goes to type something, and all of a sudden she's got no caps or she's got no backspace. And it's in WordPad, it's in Microsoft Word. She goes to type something, she can't do a backspace. It's very strange. It is like a sticky keys thing, I think.
Well, you're saying that no matter, no, this is a wired keyboard or a wireless keyboard?
It's a wired keyboard.
It's a wired keyboard. And no matter what program you're in, you're getting all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, yeah, no caps key, or all of a sudden she goes to do a caps and it's a lowercase, or she goes to type something and she can't backspace. All of a sudden certain letters disappear. She can't type them,
so I
can do it on my Mac, and I can send her the file when you print it out on her.
Yeah, that's not fun, is it?
No.
That's like multitasking.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask some of the obvious. I mean, have you tried a different keyboard?
No, I just, she's got it. Well, it's a Dell laptop, so.
Oh, you said laptop. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you have that issue, now you can plug in an external keyboard to most laptops.
Either
USB or some of them even have a keyboard port.
Right.
Okay. So by doing that, you'll make sure that there's not some issue beyond the keyboard that's causing this problem. I'm certain that the keyboard itself is probably the problem.
Yeah.
The little membrane contacts underneath certain keys after a while. How old is the laptop?
It's about a 4-year-old Dell. Nothing's been spilled on it.
It has nothing to do with spilling. It's just that repetitive back and forth and what have you. Or if it gets jarred just the right way, I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And on a 4-year-old laptop, it may be a little iffy as to whether it's worth fixing that or not. Now, you know, if you're comfortable swapping out the keyboard yourself, you can go try to source a replacement keyboard.
Right.
For that, but about the only thing it can be is that the contacts for those keys, something has happened to them.
Okay.
But again, a one way to make absolutely sure before you go through that mess is to plug in an external keyboard.
Just a USB or something like that.
Right, USB or the 4-year-old Dells, they should actually have the round keyboard port.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Make sure you turn the computer off though before you plug it in, especially on a machine that old. Sometimes they have to be there when you boot up, or else it won't recognize them.
And it's not like that all the time. It's just occasionally, and it could be in Internet Explorer, it could be in Word, it could be in TextPad. I try to do stuff.
Yeah, it's not software specific. This is a hardware issue. There's something going on with your keyboard. One thing you can try doing: get a can of compressed air,
uh-huh.
Right? Turn the laptop so that it's perpendicular. So the keyboard is perpendicular to the surface you're on, and almost tilt it a little forward and start to spray out all of the stuff that's going on there. Sometimes you can just kind of shake the thing and you'll see, oh, there's some Cheetos. There's a...
Yeah. Like, it's probably just settle dust. The unit stays open all the time. We never really close the top.
You have cats or dogs?
Yeah, it could very well be. We've got dogs.
Well, the contacts are actually sealed, so it's not likely that it's gotten in there, gotten the contacts. But what could be happening is that some other debris is keeping the keys from actually pressing all the way every time. And you know, I mean, so now the fact that it's intermittent and there's no rhyme or reason, you know, it's possible it's still electronic. So that the easy one to eliminate is the debris issue.
Right.
Right. So you can take those things out.
Secondary keyboard just to test it out.
Secondary keyboard, and then you can go online and actually start looking, you know, type in replacement keyboard and then put the model Dell, not model number. And then you'll start to see the people that have the secondary market used or parts for older laptops.
Well, cool.
All right.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, good luck.
Appreciate it.
All right. And watch them Cheetos. they'll build up and get you. Right? You know what else is bad about Cheetos, Tonio?
What?
They turn your fingers orange.
How's that bad?
Well, if you have a white keyboard. Bad news, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's at my timing? Let's start down this path, because I know this is a question you had, Ben. Dave?
What's going on?
Hey there. It says here, preference in HD TVs. This is a little off of the computer subject, but it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And actually, Ben is... He was pondering this very thing himself, so I thought this is a good question to have as a roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
Are you providing providing information, or are you asking for information?
Well, I'm asking. I'm actually headed to Best Buy. I'm looking for anything 46-inch or 52-inch LCD, 1080p, and I'm looking at Sony, Samsung, or Sharp.
Fortunately for you, those are all very good brands. I know people that own all three of those. I mean, different people that own all three. And those things, those devices tend to be very good, especially if you're looking at that class of LCD. So they're all, I think you're going to be in good shape with all of those. So here's a couple things. It's funny because that's one of the newsletter items we had today was watch out for the showroom tricks.
Right, I read that.
That they pull on that,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So make sure you, first of all, you're saying that you want something 46 to 52. That means for regular broadcast television, you need to be at least 8 to 10 feet away from the panel.
Right, and the sofa is 15 feet from the wall that it's going on.
Okay, so you're in good shape. You can probably go all the way up to like a 60-inch and still be okay.
Right.
Now the difference, that measurement of how far back you can be is significantly different for high-resolution or high-definition content.
Okay.
High-definition content, you can actually be quite a bit closer.
Okay.
But if you don't use the measurement for that lower-grade analog or standard broadcast content, and you get your stuff too close, when you're watching those lower resolution programs, it's like really hard.
Right.
So, but make sure you understand, if you're comparing to, make sure that they're comparing off the exact same source. There's a lot of tricks that they play on the TV that they want you to buy. They'll jack up the brightness or the contrast or, you know, whatever. They can play with that stuff. So whatever it is you're going to buy, make sure you get the remote control and you get an opportunity to play with the settings.
Right, and I am shopping price. I mean, I know you said earlier don't shop price, but...
Well, no, not price alone,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh,
okay. So you want to use that as an indicator, but don't say, well, that's the cheapest one, I'm just going to buy that one.
Right now, prices should be good anyways.
Do you have a smartphone or any way to do some research while you're out there?
Well, no, unfortunately. I wish I did.
Okay,
here's
what I suggest you do. They have an internet connection, usually a high-speed internet connection there at the store, and if not, go somewhere where they have it. When you narrow it down to two or three models,
mm-hmm.
go online and look for, put the model number in and say review.
Right.
Okay, and see what other people are saying about it, because that's the invaluable stuff on this.
Well, I went to CNET earlier.
No. You need the whole generalized feedback from a lot of people. So hang tight here. I'm gonna talk you off the air. Give you some other tips there. Anything you're out there shopping for, we're here for you. It's the Data Doctor, 602-277-5827. Back after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. I'm trying to help people off the air, and
forgot to get
back on the air. The gentleman just called about the high definition televisions. A couple other things that we talked about off the air that are relevant. One, folks, if you're looking at an LCD, you're looking at any large screen device, make absolutely sure you do the test of going off center. Look at the thing from angles. Figure out where the viewing angle ends. Right. Because that can be dramatically different from brand to brand. So that's a quick way. It's a non-technical way to go, ooh, I need people from the side to be able to see this thing. That one's not going to cut it. Make sure on that. The other thing is, he was worried about, well, my biggest concern is I'm going to buy it now, and in February, March, it's going to be cheaper. And I was like, yeah, it's almost guaranteed it's going to be cheaper in February, March. And you know what? In February and March, when you're just about to buy, I can tell you it's probably going to be cheaper in July or August. And then July and August, it's probably going to be cheaper if you wait till next Christmas. That is the fact of life when it comes to electronics. It's the good news, bad news scenario with technology. The good news is the price constantly goes down. The bad news is the price constantly goes down. And so if you use that as a reason not to buy today, you'll never buy. So anybody else that's thinking along that line, well, it's going to be cheaper if I wait. It's almost guaranteed it's going to be cheaper if you wait. Almost guaranteed. And just about everything you're looking at, and with very few exceptions, whatever you're looking at today will be either cheaper or for the same price you're going to get more. That hasn't changed in the 20 years that I've been in the computer business and the technology business.
It never will change.
And well, it may or may not, depending upon, you know, market situations. But it's a very dynamic environment that changes constantly. And those changes provide new features and new things that cause the older stuff to be blown out at a cheaper price to get it out of there. And then the competitive nature of things, well, if I'm going to compete with Sony or Samsung or whatever, I better add that extra feature in my next model. And that's that constant push. The Consumer Electronics Show is coming up in January. We're going to see if we can get up there and report to all of you on what we see up there. But that is exactly that race, this crazy thing that happens with technology companies. So that's not going to change. So don't allow that to keep you from going and getting that piece of technology you want now, and do yourself a favor. The worst thing in the world anybody can do when you buy a piece of technology is to, after you make the purchase, continue to shop. You will drive yourself crazy. Once you make the decision, you make the purchase, stop shopping. You're just going to drive yourself crazy, because I guarantee you're going to find it at a better price or a better deal a month, 2 months, whatever it is, down the road. Forget about it. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, forget about it. Back to the phones here. Let's see if we can help Dennis. Dennis,
yes.
How can we help you?
I'm building a new computer. It has the Crossfire technology. I'm thinking about getting the power supply for it. And I wonder if it draws power off motherboard, or if I'm going to have to get a special power supply to feed these two video cards I'm going to run.
Well, if you're building it yourself and you're going to be, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to have a whole lot more than just an advanced video card configuration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you really need to look at the total, the list of all of the equipment that you're going to put, all the parts.
Yeah.
To help you really make a good decision on the power supply. Here's the rule of thumb with power supply. No such thing as too much.
Yeah, I'm going 500 watts.
Well, your video cards might require more, too. You got to research that. I know a lot of these video cards require like a minimum 750, these newer ones these days.
Yeah, you'd want to look specifically at any of the technical information available on the websites for the specific. But you can't. It's more than just the video card. It's, you know, the how many drives you're going to have, all that good stuff. And the other thing you have to be very careful about, the let's call them import power supplies, the no-name power supplies.
Okay.
A lot of them, you'll see a big sticker on them that have little boxes that have all these different power ratings, and there's a check mark next to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trust those check marks. So make sure if you're doing this level of building that you go with a very reputable power supply company that you know you've heard of, and not some cheap off-brand because it's the lowest price.
Yeah, I'm using pretty good technology everywhere. I'm not skimping, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But that's, you know what? Most people don't even think about power supply. Good for you. You're doing your homework.
Yeah, I want to make sure it works once I get it. And I didn't know if these draw power off the power supply.
Well, sure. Everything does. Hang tight there. We're going to put you on hold, maybe have a little conversation. Jim, Bob, and then, of course, anybody else that wants to call in, 602-277. We've got a 277-5827. I got to do all of them, don't I? 602-277-5827. Line's open. Back after this. In case you're not a newsletter subscriber, here's what's in this week's newsletter. We talked about the showroom tricks to watch for when you're buying an HDTV. Our head whack of the week is the whole issue with icons getting scrambled and misplaced and what have you, and you want to go back to the way you set it up and you like it. Well, we have a link to a program that'll actually save your icon desktop. So even if you change your screen resolution, It'll put it back to the way it was.
Yeah, I could have used this quite a few times.
Of course, our Geek Speak of the Week was DLL, which we talked about earlier. There's a security warning there for a new internet worm that's exploiting a known vulnerability in Windows. So again, you got to be careful. There's a link to ZDNet's best digital cameras under $200. You're out there shopping. You don't want to spend a bunch of money on somebody. You know, you like them, but not that much. So you might try to get a low-cost camera as a nice gift.
Those are still nice cameras.
They're nice cameras. ZDNet has a list of the best ones out there for under $200. The story we referred to earlier in the show about the Australian restaurateur that used Facebook to nab the Dash and Dine or Dine and Dash gang that spent $350 and took off on him. It's an interesting set of circumstances there. There's an opinion column from Lance Ulanoff at PC Magazine of what not to buy this holiday season. Right? Another thing we've talked about in the past. My weekly advice column on these netbooks. You're going to see these inexpensive netbooks, and that's the CNN segment I did this morning. Is a video segment that we'll include in next week's newsletter as well. But there's these real low-priced, you know, $200 to $500 computers that are out there that look like regular laptops. They call them netbooks. What the heck is a netbook? Is this for you? Well, you read my advice column, either in tomorrow's Tribune or... and any of the electronic resources, and then, of course, all of our internet resources for you job seekers out there. The internet can play a big role, and we've put a bunch of links up on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. The do's and don'ts for job hunting, tips for how to find a job while you're still employed, right? Still working. You got to be careful what you're doing there. The online resume do's and don'ts, and then all kinds of things, including the how blogging and social networking can have a major impact, positive or negative, on your job search. So you have to understand all the things you do on the internet can have a big, big impact on your ability to get that next job or improve your situation. So don't take that stuff lightly. Jim joins us now, and he actually has some additional thoughts on an earlier question about the Dell laptop with the keyboard craziness. Jim, you had a good point. It could be something completely unrelated to a defect.
Yes. I've had some problems with brushing against a built-in keypad while I'm trying to type in a document, and it'll throw your cursor anywhere and cause some really strange output to show up on your screen.
Exactly.
You
move off the whatever you're doing, and you don't realize it because you brushed the back end of your palm along the little touchpad, and you're all over the place.
I did that 2 minutes ago.
And there's a couple things you can do, right, Jim?
Well, yeah, you can cover it up, hopefully, with something that's thick enough to keep you from brushing it. You could disable it and go to an external mouse. These wireless mice, I use one of those with my laptop as much as possible.
Yeah, I've got a Logitech travel mouse that's a smaller than normal mouse. It's got a little wireless transmitter that you just plug in. It's a little tiny thing you plug into the USB port. And when I'm ready to go, I pull it out of the USB port, and it actually slides inside the body of the mouse. And you just put it back in the pouch, and it's a great travel mouse.
Yep.
Good way to go. I personally have had so much trouble. I hate those touchpads. I mean, you use them when you have to, but I'm one of those that likes to disable a lot of that, or even disable some of the sensitivity on it, so that you can't, you know, you brush up against it, it's like a single click. So there are settings you folks that have that you have a notebook or laptop that you're just getting used to. You can actually make changes to how and what happens when you touch that. You can make it so that you can double click on the open pad. Or you can turn that off so that you can never use that as a clicking device. It's just as a click and drag, or just a dragging device. So, good point there, Jim. Thanks for calling in. Didn't even dawn on me to tell him that. But hopefully, you know, whether it was that individual's issue or not, those of you that have notebooks, it's a very, very common issue.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Time-wise, we're good. Let's talk to Bob. Bob's got a very good question about wireless networking.
Hello, I was curious about purchasing a wireless internet and using about 5 or 6 computers, and was wondering which wireless system would be the best.
Now, you have nothing now.
We have cable, then we transfer that to the wires, you know, and I don't want to have wires running all over the house.
No, I understand, but I'm sorry, on the wireless equipment, though, you didn't go out and buy anything.
Right, no, I haven't. I've looked online and stuff, but okay. I have not purchased anything.
The reason I ask is if you're going to be going to any of the newer technology out there, you're best off trying to keep everything the same brand.
Right, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to buy, I was thinking D-Link with the 3 antennas and then purchasing the cards that go with, you know, that they recommend for that.
Sure. So let's talk about all the different levels, and we won't get into the technical side. Let's just talk about it from a real-world standpoint. The slowest wireless network system that you're going to buy out there, the old B standard, is generally still quite a bit faster than your internet connection. Okay?
Okay.
So the higher level wireless technology that's out there, it won't make your internet surfing any faster. What it will do is, in some cases, let's say you're in a house with a lot of really thick walls or you got a lot of obstructions between where you want to have your base station and where your laptops are going to go, you can extend the range in some cases, and in some cases it can't, because it just literally can't get through these barriers that you have. So that's where these, when you see those three antennas, that's generally what they refer to as MIMO, M-I-M-O, multiple inputs, multiple outputs.
Okay.
And so it's like multiple antennas that help create... eliminate some of the shadows and things that are going on out there, but it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get better signal strength or what have you. So, unfortunately, it's a hit and miss thing. And if you could like get all the stuff you were considering and like test it, each one in your house, you'd figure out which one was the best.
Exactly.
So, don't get too carried away on the top end of this thing, because you really won't get that much more. How far away are your devices going to be from your base station?
Just a normal help length. It's got an addition, so I don't know. 50, 60 feet.
Okay, so you're starting to get into... It'll be likely that when you get that far away, you'll probably start to get some degradation depending upon how many walls there are.
Concrete walls, too?
They're concrete walls. Well, yes, because it's an addition, so you have concrete wall, like, you know...
Yeah, so there could be some issues there. So I'm a real big fan of the Linksys products myself. That's typically what I install in my personal home.
I am, too.
I have had D-Link product. It's not bad, but I tend to prefer the Linksys line. Linksys was acquired by Cisco some years ago, so.
And what's the price difference?
They're generally in the same general rate. I think D-Link is, you know, maybe 5-10% cheaper, depending upon what you're looking at. But again, you may be looking at the top end of the D-Link line when the middle of the road Linksys would do just fine for you. Okay, because the further up you go, the more expensive each device is going to be, your base station and all the wireless devices.
Right.
And again, the real need for this high-speed wireless network is, let's say you were doing, you wanted to stream video across your wireless network. Well, then that faster speed will make a difference. And I don't mean internet video. I mean, like, you want to watch, you know, you've got some special device that allows you to watch your computer content on a television. Or let's say you transfer really large files between computers on your home network. That's where these additional speeds come into play. But for standard internet surfing, it makes no difference. Follow me?
So don't
go too crazy.
What about gaming? Because my teenage son likes to do his online.
Well, wireless gaming is always, you're taking your life in your own hands, so to speak, because lag and wireless is always, I mean, wired is always better than wireless when it comes to gaming.
Yep.
So if you can... You know, keep your son on a wired connection. He'll win more often.
got it.
You put him on wireless, you're going to introduce lag of various natures, depending upon. And if you're going to try to do wireless gaming, then that's one of the reasons why you'd want to go with one of the upper-end units. But you're still not going to... It's never going to be as good as wired.
Okay.
And that's true for everything in computers, by the way. Wired is always better than wireless. A wired keyboard tends to have much fewer problems than a wireless keyboard. A wired mouse tends to have much... You see what I'm saying? So be careful about including wireless in your strategy when it really isn't necessary, or when it's going to actually be detracting from what you're trying to do. Now, one other thing. If it turns out that your farthest end... I don't know if your cable modem's on like one end of the house and then you got the addition on the other end.
That's your location, I'm assuming.
Okay, if your cable modem and your wireless base station's in the middle of the house, that's the best scenario. And if it's a two-story house, you can get it up on the second floor, you tend to get even more coverage because of the distance. So keep those things in mind. But if it turns out wireless doesn't work in every room, it works in three-quarters of them, but you need it in another room... Keep in mind there are these devices called PowerLAN connectors, and that actually uses the electrical system in your house to make a connection.
PowerLAN,
yeah.
Connectors, okay.
Yeah, and they're fairly inexpensive, real easy. You just plug it into the power jack next to your router, and then plug in an Ethernet cable, and then go to that other end of the house, plug into the electrical system there, and plug that into your Ethernet cable on your computer. So that it basically uses your electrical system as a big wire.
Oh, that works.
Okay. Now, it's not going to be as fast as the true Ethernet, but it's for basic internet surfing, it's just fine. It is slower than any of the other things we talked about, but it's consistent and it tends to work. Caveat to that is you said you had a room, you had an addition put on.
Right.
If it's on a separate electrical box, then this will not work.
Yeah, I see what you're saying too.
Yeah, it's got to go through the common electrical system. All right. So there are solutions out there for you if wireless doesn't work, but just be very careful about buying too far up.
And make sure to secure it too.
Of course.
Well, yeah, it'll have a password on it. But
good.
So what do you recommend? Just is it more expensive to run the wires? Because then we're going to have to pay a monthly fee of internet connection or just...
No. The wires that I'm... If you're using the electrical system in your house, there's no additional fee.
I don't know if it's going to work, like you said, because it's an addition.
Yeah, I mean, but start with the wireless, right? And if it works great, you're done. There's no, you're not going to have to pay your internet service more money for anything, any of the solutions we're talking about.
Right, not with the wireless, but with the wired you will.
No. Wired, I mean, if you're talking about if you pay somebody to actually run a wire.
No, I'll do that.
Okay, well then that's what I'm talking about.
But we called Cox and they said that it's $7 more a month per computer for wired. But wireless, it's not.
I think if you add another modem to the...
Yeah, you're I'm going to put you on hold here. I think you're confusing what they're saying because there's really no limit as long as your equipment can handle it. So, it is the Computer Corner of the Data Doctors. Time for a break. We'll be back for a little bit more. Stay tuned. And we're winding down on another edition here of the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor's in the house every Saturday afternoon for a couple of hours to try to help you with your technology. Earlier, we talked about high-definition televisions and some buying tips, somebody on their way to buy one. And Scott heard that and said, hey, there's something else you should consider. Right, Scott?
Yeah, what's that?
You said...
Oh, you're talking to me? Okay, am I online?
Yeah, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. I'm a star. Reflection, because I got a kitchen family room. And the reflection of the kitchen lights has always been a problem on the TVs. With the LCD, there is no reflection. It is sweet.
Well, it depends on what the surface, right, of the LCD is.
Well, so I think mine's a matte finish.
Yeah, so but not all of them are matte finishes. So but the point you're making is very good. Folks, when you're shopping for this thing, make sure that you look at the reflective nature of whatever it is, whether it's plasma, LCD, DLP, doesn't matter what it is.
Exactly.
That reflection is a major nightmare for big screens, isn't it?
It is. It's a distraction on every TV I've ever had there.
So when you went and bought this Samsung, you liked the Samsung HDTV, you actually looked to see if you could see the store lights or something off of it, right?
Exactly. I looked to see if I could see what was behind me.
So when you're testing the angle of the TV, you should be looking at the lights, too.
Well, and looking from the bottom up and down, you know, all that stuff. So brilliant advice, Scott. Thanks so much.
You betcha.
All right. Take care now.
Bye.
All right, now. And finally, guys, this is your... Oh, great. You're feeding your face again.
Yep.
This is your 20th of a second. Let's start with Tonio. So, 11-year-old guys that are out there, technology, obviously, all the normal stuff. Give me some specific things that you think that are still, you know, favorable for 11-year-old guys out there, for people looking to shop for 11-year-olds.
Well, there's, like, the iPods.
The iPod, the Shuffle.
Yeah, the
and
Shuffle,
now,
the
ultimate,
Touch,
yeah, the
Nano.
The ultimate is still the iPod Touch, right?
Right.
Because that's like an iPhone without the phone. You can do everything else, the App Store and everything else.
Right, because people are wanting to take their music with them and everything.
Sure. So those of you looking for an iPod, you want the ultimate iPod. The iPod Touch is the way to go if it's in your price range. What else?
Maybe like game systems.
So give me some titles of some specific games that are big time with the 11-year-olds.
Maybe like the Mercenaries 2 Fable 2. There's fighting. I can't remember.
What is it?
Like,
what's the big World War II one that's...
Call of Duty,
right?
Yeah,
it's an amazing
game.
They really are.
There's like the SmackDown versus Raw 2009.
They like the wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
A whole bunch.
Good stuff, all right? Let's move to 15-year-olds.
All right, 15-year-olds. Basically, same thing with the iPods, iPod Nano, iPod Touch. We like shiny things. We like things that flash.
Uh-huh.
Pretty pictures. We are easily amused.
What are the in on the gaming consoles?
Really, like for our age, Xbox 360 and PS3. Not so much the Wii, because it's kind of geared towards the younger age. And I don't know.
Looked upon as...
It's really little kids kind of thing. I don't know.
Plus,
whatever.
Those two, both PS3 and Xbox 360.
Have a lot more hardcore games.
Well, they have more games, but they're also designed for high definition. definition television,
right.
Whereas the Wii is
right.
still standard definition.
Right.
Right.
So we keep those things in mind.
Games for those, like you said, Fable 2, but that there's also like Gears of War, Gears of War 2 that just came out, Fallout 3, this thing called Left 4 Dead. A lot of the like gory, nice yeah. shooting games
shoot 'em up
for the
games.
Guys.
That's still the big stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, now,
Call
what about
Duty,
what yeah. about all the sporting games that you see, like the Madden football and the basketball?
Yeah. Recently, they haven't been getting that great of reviews, which is weird because usually they're great games. But
do you have to really be into the sport to really like the game?
Not necessarily.
Or somebody that's really into football may not really get into the Madden football either.
Well, if they're into football, they're generally into Madden.
Okay. Yeah.
Like crazy.
So it's
doesn't
a safe
even have
bet.
To be a good game. If it's got the word Madden on it, they're like, yes!
Okay, so it's a safe bet. If they're into sports, a particular sport, they'd probably like that game
right.
whatever the gaming console is.
Right.
Yeah, good tips. What else? Is there obvious mistakes that this, us old folks make when we're trying to buy technology for the younger set?
Crappy phones.
Crappy phones.
yeah. Really? I mean, if you get, yeah. like, there's all the kinds of people constantly just complaining about their phones.
And,
so.
And what do the folks under the age of 16, 18 really want their phone to? What's common to all phones?
Messaging, basically.
It's really about text messaging.
It's
not
text
the phone,
messaging,
right?
not quite the calls. If you can get unlimited text, because a lot of times they can't text that much, and it's like, I don't know. The plans just ravish their.
What about the ability to actually send pictures along with that
picture messaging, yeah, taking camera phones? Those are big.
Okay.
Definitely that kind of stuff.
So, mom and dad, when you're searching for a phone, for a cell phone, the phone's the least important part. That's the thing to learn here, right? All the stuff that you look at them and go, what the heck are you?
So probably one with a keypad on it.
Yeah, those are all those important things.
One that turns into a mirror so you can check out chicks.
Yeah, there you go. It'll shine, right?
You fell
for the advertising.
Dude, it totally works.
One last piece of advice. If you're trying to figure it out and you see any youngins in the store, ask them, what do you think of this, as you get a raw review of that product as well. So, hope you learned something this week. DataDoctors.com/radio if you need more. With that, we'll see you all next week.